All right, guys, it is mid-October, and we are entering into one of our favorite times of the year. If you are a listener of the podcast, you know we love all things scrape-related, whether that be creating mock scrapes in a new area or adding scent profiles to pre-existing scrapes. These are tactics we like to utilize this time of year to either get an inventory of bucks in a new area or to try and get that target buck into a specific kill location. Now, when it comes to anything mock scrape-related or scent-related, there's no one we trust more than Brush Creek Monsters. Myself, Chris, and many of our other team members love utilizing their natural scrape vines for any of our mock scrapes. Another one of our favorite products is their Doe on Fire Estrus, which will be available within the next week. One of my favorite things about Brush Creek is that all of their scent products are natural. They come from their deer herd. There are no additives. So you know when you get a bottle of Doe on Fire, it comes from a specific doe. It is bottled fresh and shipped out quickly. Like I said, they're going to have does coming into Estrus within the next week. However, they do have a limited supply. So if you're wanting to check out any of Brush Creek Monsters products or get a bottle of Doe on Fire, go to brushcreekmonstersllc.com. That is one word, brushcreekmonstersllc.com.
Hey everybody, Rick here from Fueled by the Outdoors, and I'm here to tell you about a wonderful company, Satties, Custom Ammunition and Gunworks. Aaron Satterfield and his family have been turning out some awesome game loads lately. I've been using the Satties Fatties turkey loads, and I got to tell you, they stop a bird dead. Chris used a 20 gauge this year. I used a 12. Josh used a 20. And my son actually killed one with a 410 this year with one of Satties loads. And my God, do they put the birds down like crazy. Aaron Satterfield and his family have a wide-ranging array of ammunition, custom game loads, predator loads, turkey loads, the Satties Fatty, and also they do gun work. Please get a hold of them with any questions that you have in terms of your custom ammunition needs. Go to SattiesLLC.com. That's SattiesLLC.com and tell them that Rick from Fueled by the Outdoors sent you.
Recurve buck down, baby. Oh my gosh, that was freaking awesome.
This is my first public land buck. This is my second sit of the season.
Okay, oh my gosh, I just heard him fall. I just heard him fall.
I just shot my Kentucky buck. Hey everybody, welcome to Fueled by the Outdoors. I'm your host, Chris Leppert, and tonight I am co-hosted by mein Freund, Josh Luck. What's up, dude?
Hey, how's it going?
Oh, not too bad. I guess we're going to talk about some pee-pee tonight, huh?
All about it.
Those is on fire. So we went out to our buddy's father's house last night. He owns a deer farm. They're called Brush Creek Monsters, and had I not had my little boy with me, who is 2.5 years old, we could have stayed there for a really long time talking, and Josh would have had to call into work today. I think we were there till damn near 10 o'clock at night last night, and it's like an hour and something away. So we just wanted to kind of bring you some of these tactics and to kind of go further, we are going to bring you an extra episode each week for the next few weeks anyways, just so you guys can basically, you know, get more content. And it's really, tough to talk tactics and different topics when you're also trying to have guests. So gives us a chance to share what's in our minds, I guess.
Yeah, we just wanted to take kind of this, what most people consider like the prime time of the season. You know, these, this will come out, I believe, on October 27th. But over the next 4 or 5 weeks or so, just try and bring an extra episode, one where we kind of deep dive on some specific tactics. This week is going to be about using scent products, because this is very applicable to this time of year. And we had some really good conversations with Brad, the owner of Brush Creek, last night, that got us thinking. And we just wanted to do a deep dive on how we've used scents, on scents that we like, and then some of the topics that we talked about with Brad on, because he's a big scent hunter. And he was telling us some of the tactics that he uses and what the kind of mistakes he sees guys doing out in the woods when using scents, and then some of the stuff that he really likes to do in order to kind of make everything as realistic as possible to help draw in a mature buck. So it's kind of what we wanted to hit on tonight.
Yeah. So first and foremost, just want to kind of give you, I guess, a rundown what we think is kind of cool with these guys. So they've had deer for a really long time, worked on other deer farms, so they're pretty knowledgeable when it comes to the animals. And Brad was telling us last night about how he basically guarantees that every single bottle is not just a single doe, but it's estrus. It's not fake. I am of the opinion, maybe Josh is as well, that sometimes, or most of the time, almost never, I don't believe you're getting estrus most of the time. If you are, it's what is referred to as herd estrus, where you have, you know, 8 deer and one of them's in heat, the others aren't. That can be kind of confusing to a buck sometimes, I think, but I just don't know that if you're not using the proper science, basically, to bring her into heat, that you could guarantee that she's in heat. So while I won't go into exactly how they do it, because I don't know that he wanted that all mentioned, because it's pretty different, but essentially, the same way that your veterinarian would bring a deer, horse, cow, whatever, into heat to be bred at a certain time, that is how they are getting estrus. We won't go into that process, but it's a thing. And I noticed some pretty good results last year. I think some of our other team members did as well. And it just, you know, the first time I used it, I felt like it worked, and it wasn't just because I saw a buck or, you know, whatever. It was what I saw from the buck, his reaction, and, you know, just watching him work. So, but we're going to dive pretty deep into some of our tactics. So, Josh, you want to talk about one of the sort of misconceptions that Brad sort of corrected me on with using basically a whole damn bottle at a time?
Yeah. Just before that, just a little bit more information on the owner, Brad. It's our buddy Pierce that, you know, you hear Chris and us mention all the time on the podcast. He's really good deer hunter, has killed some nice deer. Brad is his father, who's also a big buck killer, and has hunted public and private, and just has a really good understanding of just a mature buck and their personalities, characteristics, how their nose works. And he's literally around deer every day. That's what he deals with. So it's really nice talking with him and getting to know him, because he's got an entire wall of big bucks. And just when you talk to him about his deer farm and his products, like, he's got a really good understanding of what works in an actual hunting situation. He likes all of his stuff, like that natural scent. You know, nothing, no additives, nothing synthetic. You know, because, you know, deer can tell. Like, he was talking to us last night how he'll have a whole herd of does and fawns, and then he'll let one fawn out, and that fawn will, or that doe will run into this herd and go to her specific fawn out of all these different deer out there. So they're able to identify individual deer. And like Chris said earlier, some of these products, when you're getting that, when you don't know how they're collected and you're getting this like herd pee or herd estrus, like it can be very confusing. The other thing I don't like is when they get to a certain temperature, they can start to break down. So if you don't know how they're stored, like I never had any luck with any of the store, this kind of things you see in like Walmart and stuff. And I mean, you just don't know how it's stored. You don't know how it's collected, and you don't really, I mean, deer can tell quite a bit with their nose. And I honestly think they could tell like, okay, that's definitely a doe and estrus, or that's not a doe and estrus, you know. But back to what Chris was saying about the common misconception, usually when, I mean, I was the same way when I was younger and using scents, I would go to the store, get, you know, some, I used to always get tinks, and the bottles there. And then I'd go out and I would get my scent wick and dip a ton of it in it and hang it somewhere. And then I would sling a bunch around and just, in my mind, I'm like, I'm going to get as much scent as possible in the air so it carries as far as it can and bring in, you know, bucks from miles away or all these different directions. And actually, when we were talking to Brad about this, he was saying that that's something that you should really not do. And that's a very common misconception with hunters. And he got to talking about, you know, watching a doe when it comes in the estrus and watching her body language. And he said, if you watch closely, her tail will be cocked almost at like a 45, and you know she's receptive. And in the wild, what did he say? They're in heat for about 3 days, right? They're receptive for 3 days. And when they have that estrus, he said, they do not like to waste it like one bit. So when you see a doe walking through, you'll see her squat and pee, and she only lets out like a few drops. It's not like she just dumps a gallon bucket on the ground and then walks away. It's she'll lay down a scent trail, basically. She'll walk and then squat and, you know, just drop a couple drops and then rub it on her legs and get it into that gland and walk 20 more yards, a couple more drops. And it's not like this ton of scent all around. And he is saying that's something that he sees a lot of guys make a mistake. And when you broadcast the scent, you really kind of confuse a buck because they can't cut a specific track and they're used to following a specific track. So when you broadcast around, like Chris did this last year, and he noticed it, and it didn't dawn on you until we were talking to Brad last night, but you basically threw all the estrus in like a big circle, right? And then you witness that buck like a dog kind of going back and forth, just trying to figure out where that quote unquote doe went, trying to cut her track, and he couldn't tell.
Yeah. Now, I will add, the doe was fake. It was me. So he couldn't have cut her track. So I will say that, but I could have done
scent trail. I'm sorry. I should have said scent trail, not track.
I didn't leave any kind of scent trail. I literally just circled that scrape with like the size of a house. You know, I used the entire bottle and I feel like it worked. But I probably could have done better, you know, with rather than making a big circle, put some out here, put some out there and, you know, draw him towards me or something, which luckily he came towards me anyway. And I was a dipshit and missed him. But, I mean, what he's saying makes a lot of sense. The thing that I'm actually excited about is who puts out 2 to 4 drops of pee at a time. Probably almost nobody, unless they're poor. Like, unless they don't want to have to buy another bottle. Most guys are buying bottles and bottles, and they soak everything in it and all that. And I'm like, you know, this could be more recognizable to a deer as being realistic and not kind of, you know, those big older mature deer are like, oh, there's Elmer dipshit again with his gallon of piss. Like, yeah, I'll walk right over, buddy. Be right there. Well, now you lay down a scent trail with, you know, two or three drops, 50 yards, two or three drops, another 50, 75 yards, same thing. All of a sudden, you might get a different reaction from that deer that you're trying to bring in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he's, they've designed their bottles, their dough on fire. The bottle caps are, it's like a dropper. So you can flip it over and shake it and it'll just, a couple drops come out. And Brad says he'll just like a doe, he'll couple drops, walk 10, 15 yards, couple drops, and he'll create this scent trail of where he wants his buck to go. And he'll even, and he said what a lot of guys do is they'll stop at like a tree that's like in front of them and they'll put like a scent wick up. And what he likes to do, he likes to keep their head on the ground. Because once you get that deer's head up in the air, right, the chances of him possibly seeing you go up. So he'll take his dropper and do a couple drops, and he'll go past his stand. And he'll try and get to a good location where he can shoot the deer without being seen. You know, that quartering away shot is what he's talking about. And he said he'll drop and look at his stand like, okay, if he's here, he's quartering away, I have a perfect shot. And I thought that was really good.
Oh, yeah. The other thing that I like to do is almost play defense. I'm going to try to put this as best I can, but let's say you've got a north and south running secondary ridge and you have a west wind and you expect that deer to come from the northeast, quartering into that wind. A lot of us are hunting what we call the just off wind, to where basically that deer's headed right to you and eventually he is going to get your wind if you don't shoot him before he hits it. So what I like to do is throw some piss out and try to basically have it just ahead of my wind. So when he'll hit that before he hits my wind, and then it draws him over, turns him broadside, quarter away, whatever, you know, you're looking for. And then another trick that you could even do is put some behind a tree so you can grab your bow, draw your bow, you know, turn your camera on, whatever you need to do, and try to like confuse him a little bit just to get him to stop. So just some tactics I like to use.
No, that's pretty much how I like to use mine as well. I'm playing that just off wind is what I'm trying to do. And like I said, you can play defense depending on which way they're coming. Lay down that scent trail just before they would catch your wind, and then get them to, you know, skirt around you into a nice shooting lane. But that's right. And during this time of the year, that's what bucks are going to be doing, right? They're going to be on the downwind side of some doe bedding, or they're going to have some sort of crosswind, you know, quartering to them most likely during this time of year, because they're scent checking these areas for these does. So I'll give you an example of how I plan to use it this weekend. We have a lot of the south winds right now, and they're going to switch to the, I want to say it switches to northwest. It keeps changing a little bit, but it's supposed to switch to northwest. Now, I hunted the same spot the other evening, and I actually passed a nice young 10-pointer. I'm probably going to set the same area. So I have to try and paint the picture. Bedding would be to the south and southeast, real thick bedding cover. And there's some kind of east on the neighbors, but there, I'm at this pinch point off the bedding, this funnel area, if you will. And, I'm going to be hunting near some mock scrapes that'll be on this trail out in front of me. So with a northwest wind, I can play the just off wind if they're coming south of me. Right. So, and if the wind's coming north from the northwest, my scent will be blowing southeast, right? And I'm kind of expecting them to come from the south, so I'm playing that just off wind. So they'll come south down this trail, so I plan to use that doe on fire down that trail and a couple drops along that trail to where they'll come out in front of me, and I'll have a, I have a mock scrape right there at the intersection of some trails. It's a 12-yard chip shot, hopefully. And that's how I plan on using it this weekend. And then I another product I don't think we mentioned, I mentioned Scentwix earlier, but Brush Creek, and another thing that I think was really smart on their end. We were talking to Brad about, I asked him about Scentwix in general, because when he was telling us about how he doesn't like to broadcast the scent because it confuses the deer, I was like, well, how do you like to use Scentwix? Because people just douse them in doe estrus or dopey and then hang it up. And he said he doesn't like to use them, mainly because if you have a steady wind, what do you say, within, you know, 10 minutes or so, that thing's going to be dried up.
Yeah, a lot of times if you have a good wind, it'll dry it up pretty quick.
Yeah, and it's not going to have the same effect you want. So they took, basically, they make scrape vines that we all use for our mock scrapes, but they have these thicker vines that they drilled out, and then they have, it's like a wick on the very bottom of it. But to keep the doe estrus fresh, you can pour it into the top of that, and it's got a cork. And he said you got about 2 hours with it. But you put it in this hollowed out vine with the wick at the bottom, and you fill it up with the estrus, and you can hang it. And he likes to hang it up in scrapes and that. So I was going to hang it up in that mock scrape, and it's got a fresh, just steady drip. And I got 2 hours with it where it's going to just gradually drip in into that mock scrape. And that's going to, I'm going to have that scent trail go to that. So that's how I plan on using it this upcoming weekend. And I think I'll definitely have an encounter with something there. I'm hoping it's one of 2 bucks, but we will see.
What do you got? You've got the blind eye buck and you've got Richard, right?
Yeah. So the blind eye buck is at least 6, if not 7. He's blind in his left eye. He's a 10 pointer. He was about the same size last year. He's not like huge, and I think he's about as big as he's going to get. He's in the 40s for sure. But he's one of those elusive bucks that just keeps living out there. And I'm like, man, I want an encounter with him. He daylighted on the 18th on that mock scrape.
He's got one eye.
Yep.
Isn't that depressing? He's got one eye.
He's got one eye. And he, when I got him on video, that mock scrape, he came one to back. I was like, this makes zero sense. I think he was just checking areas.
Yeah.
During this time, he was checking some areas he usually goes to. So hoping to get an encounter with him. And then there's Richard, who's at least 4, if not 5. He's another big 9. I don't know if he'll score as well as the blind eye. He is a little bigger than last year. I'm thinking he's like at least upper 30s. He might be in the low 40s. We'll see. I'm hoping to get an encounter with him. He actually showed up on camera last night. But he'll be in there. He daylighted last year on November 1st on that mock scrape. And the day after my son was born on the morning of November 3rd. So.
Hey, everybody. Rick here from Fueled by the Outdoors. And I'm here to tell you about a wonderful company, Saddy's. Custom Ammunition and Gunworks. Aaron Satterfield and his family have been turning out some awesome game loads lately. I've been using the Saddy's Fatties turkey loads, and I got to tell you, they stop a bird dead. Chris used a 20 gauge this year. I used a 12. Josh used a 20. And my son actually killed one with a 410 this year with one of Saddy's loads. And my God, do they put the birds down like crazy. Aaron Satterfield and his family have a wide-ranging array of ammunition. Custom game loads, predator loads, turkey loads, the Saddy's Fatty, and also they do gun work. Please get a hold of them with any questions that you have in terms of your custom ammunition needs. Go to saddiesllc.com. That's SattiesLLC.com, and tell them that Rick from Fueled by the Outdoors sent you.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Oh yeah, dude. It's about to get really good.
Oh yeah. I'm hoping this kind of these scent tactics are gonna bring something in. This is, I don't know, in my opinion, this is the best time of year to use it, because I feel like those more mature bucks really, those mature bucks are the ones that are you feel or that I feel are always seeking out that first hot doe.
Yep.
It's like, I feel like you see the mature bucks towards the very beginning and then like at the end when it starts to drop off. You can get them in the middle there, but I'm always trying to key on that end of October. Yeah. Cause I'm like, if I feel like that's the time to capitalize on a mature buck.
I always prefer the rise and the fall of the rut, you know, that height of the pre-rut, and then the, you know, the downward swing. But another interesting thing too is if you've got bucks on camera that are, you know, at least probably somewhat reasonable as far as like, you know, they're not bedded 2 miles away, that end of October time is when they make mistakes. And they're not, you know, to preface this, they're not walking around like morons, but you just get them in daylight, oftentimes in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
The morning movement picks way up. I've noticed it on my cams. I think you've had the same. And a lot of, you know, bigger hunters out there, especially guys who key in on this time of year, they agree. You know, the morning movement is phenomenal this time of year. So, it's going to be an interesting end to this month, that's for sure.
Yeah, and I wanted to hit on something with just with scents in general, because I know you had this question last night, Chris, about buck piss. You know, like you said, this is the time of year where you those bucks are making some mistakes, coming around a little bit more in daylight. I know a lot of guys will use buck piss either by itself in like some scrapes, or try and do it in conjunction with some estrus just to try and paint a picture, I guess. I've never used it in conjunction. But when we were talking with Brad, he does not like to mix the two during this time of year. He's more use that buck piss and some of those scrape vines a little bit earlier in October, where, you know, your bucks are trying to establish their areas. But when you start to get where does are popping, he doesn't like to use buck piss. He just likes to use estrus, because, and he put it, he's like, there's a lot of pussy bucks out there, which is true. Jesus.
He said it.
I'm just using his words, but I agree. And if you're, especially if you're unfamiliar in an area, or if you don't have a lot of history with deer and don't know their like personality, I would stay away from using buck piss right now and just stick with the estrus. And I had mentioned this last night. Like you'll get these trail cam pictures of really nice big deer, and their rack is like untouched. And this is the time of year you should start seeing them being busted up. And I feel like if you have a mature buck, that's just a tank. Let's say it's just, you got like a 50, 60, 170, and there's not a scratch on him and his rack is intact, that deer's probably not getting into many fights. So if you're putting that buck piss in a scrape and essentially trying to challenge other deer, like he may avoid that area. So I would caution on against using it. And I think Brad was kind of saying that too, at least right now. I thought that was another good tip.
I mean, it makes sense to me. The way he put it too was, there's a lot of guys that are big, but act like little bitches. Like when the time comes, you know, they're not ready to fight. A lot of times your smaller guys are little scrappers, and that's just like that, you know, 5 or 6 inch base buck that's going to score 129 inches. And he's all broken up. His ears are split out in multiple spots. He's got a body on him from hell where he looks like he's built like a bull, big old head, neck, whatever. Just not going to score well. It's not an impressive looking deer. It'll beat the shit out of every other deer on the farm. And they call them bully bucks. And it was a really good point that he and Josh made about the, you know, the big, gorgeous 180-inch typical, you know, that is unbroken in every way, doesn't have anything wrong with his ears. You look at him and you're like, how are you not broken up? Your tines are, you know, you're giving up a lot of leverage with those long tines and all that. Well, makes sense. He's one of the guys that just wants to go find that beautiful little girl, we'll call it, and do his thing. So he's a lover, not a fighter.
Mm-hmm. Now, I would say if you're targeting a bully buck, the buck piss might work. Really make him mad. But if you're, let's say if you're on a new piece of public, because a lot of people are traveling right now during this time of year, I would just stick with the estrus just to play it safe. I'm hoping to kill in Ohio soon, because then I'm going to jump into Kentucky, and then in Kentucky I'll just use the estrus.
Yeah.
I'll be bouncing around to maybe a couple different pieces of public in Kentucky, and then.
So what is your plan when you don't have the correct wind to hunt your dad's ranch?
It's not a ranch.
Awesome.
Well, I don't have too many winds I can't hunt it on. There are winds that the more mature bucks prefer, but during this time of year, they can come pretty much anywhere. It just depends. But let's say if it was earlier in the season, I'm not like big on west winds there because they randomly bed on that neighbor's property to the east. There's a couple spots in Kentucky I want to hit. During this time of year, I would focus on trying to find funnels down one side of doe bedding. It's still the end of October, so they're still going to hit scrapes pretty good right now. I would probably find a very active scrape right outside the bedding cover on a funnel. That seems to be the ticket in a lot of cases. Once you get to a little bit past those first few days of November, that scrape activity really dies down. I don't notice it as much. And then towards the end of the quote-unquote rut, it'll pick back up. But I feel like right now is a good, really good time to hone in on scrapes. That's what I did Sunday, and I passed that younger 10-point that's got great potential.
Yeah, I'm going to be excited to watch you bounce around on some public a little bit. If you end up not having the proper conditions for the private farm, it'll be neat to hear what you experience, both with deer activity and scouting and all that, but also pressure, because this is, man, everybody comes to Ohio. They're going to hit the 150 and 160 trees. You pick, you know, however many you want off of there because it's easy here and our deer are stupid. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, what you experience, how you're able to avoid and circumnavigate or use said pressure from all the out-of-state crew and all that. So
yeah, if for some reason I don't get anything down with the time I have off in Ohio, and let's say we get into like that third week of November, I might just start bouncing around to Kentucky and then save my father's again for like late season.
Yep. That's smart. Yeah, and I do apologize, by the way. I missed our last podcast. For those that may have or may not have missed me, I have been hunting my ass off on a pretty good deer and feel like I want to devote my time to that deer, but I didn't get out of the woods in time to meet up on here with Josh and Rick, so they had to handle it on their own. It's going to be an interesting next, you know, week or two, though. Could get good.
Yeah, it could get really good. Here in Ohio, got a little bit of a warm spell this week. That's not going to affect anything. Nope. I would still get out and hunt. We do have some rain coming this weekend, which I'm not overly excited about, because when it's warm and rainy, I feel like there's not like a ton of movement. And if you're someone that really follows weather, like our barometer is continuously falling throughout the week. And then once you hit Sunday night into Monday, it starts to really jump up. Let's see, Sunday morning it is at 30, which is still, don't get me wrong, 30 is still high. Then it goes from 30 Sunday morning to Monday morning, Monday morning it's 30.22, which is like a big jump in the barometer. And there's supposed to be like it's supposed to rain quite a bit and then stop, I think, that Monday morning. So I think that's a recipe to, you need to be in the woods, especially on October 30th.
Yep.
And then temps are supposed to like plummet Tuesday. As of right now, that said, the high was like 48, 49.
God.
And then a little colder on Wednesday. Thursday morning was like in the upper 20s. And I was like, oh.
Yeah, I may try to get some childcare for that morning, because we've got...
I may call in sick at work.
We've got Halloween, of course, you know. So you're going trick-or-treating as a dad. And then... the next day is my daughter's birthday, and there's no way I'm not cooking my daughter dinner for her birthday. I gave her the option that we could either bake a cake together, make cupcakes, or choose to make cake pops. So the homemade cake pops are pretty slick. So I will be out of commission for two very, very good days, but I'm hoping I can get out on the second.
Yeah, I have the same thing. I have Theo's birthday party and Halloween trick-or-treating.
Yeah, but you've got Theo's birthday party just this weekend, right?
Yeah, it's just this weekend.
I'm saying, like, so I've got Colleen's regular birthday party and then just our immediate, like me, her, you know, the wife and kid thing, and her little special time as well, so...
Yeah, I work on the second anyway, so we'll I'll just come home. The plan was to come home after work and do something with them.
Just tell them you died. Call into work on the second and say
I'm pretty sure I'm gonna tell Madison like I'm hunting the evening of the first, right after, like I wanna leave work and then go straight to the woods.
Yeah. Oh, it's going to be, it's the best time of year. The only thing I don't like about this time of year is when the leaves really start falling, when you don't have that like windstorm that takes them off. Dude, it drives me nuts because it's constant motion and you can't hear anything. And I actually had my number one buck screwed up because of that. Me and my buddy Matt Amrine were hunting together. It was like October 30th, maybe 29th, 70-something degrees by, you know, 10:30 in the morning or whatever. And the leaves are just coming down. And I'm around some sycamores and poplars, so the big-ass leaves are falling. And he whispers, "Buck." And I'm like, oh, you know, I don't want to spook. You know, it's probably a little buck. No big bucks walking around at, you know, 10:30, 11 o'clock in the morning, you know, when it's this hot out. I'm looking everywhere and I can't see this deer. And finally, it starts to move from my left to my right as I turn and I catch movement. And he starts to move and I look and I'm like, oh my God, that's him. And I made just about every wrong decision you could. It was early October. I didn't want to screw up, but now I'm like, man, you should have been aggressive, you moron. Like, I could have easily just stood up fast, grabbed my bow, and stopped him at 30 yards. He was at 24 yards, and I had no clue. Yeah. And so then I tried and tried. You know, I didn't, like, want to force a shot or anything. And every time I had the angle, I didn't have, you know, a window. And then when I had a window, I didn't have the angle or whatever. And I'm like, damn it. I snort wheezed. I did everything I could to get that deer to give me another chance. And he just walked out of my life forever. I never got him on camera ever again.
Maybe that should be our next tactic talk. We just did scents, and maybe we should do like sense. Vocals and noise.
Common sense?
Yeah.
I can rattling. Solve that. Just don't use any of that shit unless you're sight calling. No.
I think you got to use it in certain circumstances.
Yeah. But I'm pretty limited. Although I should probably stick my grunt tube in my bag now.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do.
You catch that big bastard walking, you know, 80 yards away and dump a soft grunt over your right shoulder and get him to come in and check it. I mean, it could be the difference between him not coming in or him coming in. And then, you know, okay, he circles downwind. Well, you got all that piss out, and then he hits that piss, and then he comes in, you know, stuff. I mean, it could work. Is it going to? There's a good chance that it's not going to.
Mm-hmm.
But if it does, it's like going for two. You look like a genius when it works. Normally, you look like a dumbass that should have taken the extra point in this day and age, but you get what I'm saying. So, well, what else you got? You got anything else?
No, I think we kind of covered most things on scents that I wanted to cover, at least tactics that we like to use, we plan to utilize. The only other thing I would hit on is possibly mock scrapes. We're getting in that time, like within the next, so this is coming out on the 27th. I do think scrapes are really good still right now. Huge. But once you get into some chasing, it really dies down. But it'll pick back up, like you said, Chris, on like the downhill side. But we like to use the Brush Creek, the scrape finds. And one thing we like about them, they're natural. So there's two things with the scrape finds. And Brad was talking, I knew like if you cut a vine, it drips, but I thought it was water. It's actually sugar. So he said, so with their scrape vines, so they cut these scrape vines and they'll leak sugar. So when they hang them, and they take, you know, they wear gloves when they hang them, and then they hang them on, I think he's got cedars in his pens, but they hang them on the cedars, and because the sugar is dropping, their bucks just hit them right away. And even they'll get does, and they'll hang on the doe pens, and the does will hit them. They'll hit them right away because they're getting the sugar. Well, they'll lick and chew on the branch, but then also they'll rub their forehead and stuff on it too. So it gets all those different scents on there, and then they, you know, bag it up carefully, and then they'll ship it. So that's one thing. That's one of the reasons I like to use those, is because everything's so natural with it. And if anyone's ever used vines before in scrapes, they tend to work pretty dang well.
Oh yeah.
But you can definitely still utilize a mock scrape and adding scent profiles to it, like utilizing those vines. So either like an existing one, or if you want to make a mock scrape, just adding. You want to paint the. I like to think of it as I'm painting the picture as there's multiple deer visiting the scrape.
Yep.
And I feel like when there's multiple deer visiting the scrape, like if you get a cruiser coming by, like he's more apt to come to it because he's intrigued by it. It's like, oh, like, yeah. why is everyone coming over here? Like, let's check out the town bar over here, right? So I still think using that as a good tactic, just like the Estrus, like hunting the just off wind on those is,
mm-hmm.
and you can combine those, like I said earlier, which is what I plan on doing this weekend.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess we should probably also mention that he talked about, since you could get multiple bottles, like multiple different does, basically,
mm-hmm.
In Estrus, you could go to your spot and put out some estrus from, let's say, doe number one, we'll call her, and then go back a couple days later and possibly have that buck's interest peaked in kind of hanging close, looking for that doe, waiting for her to come through, and use a different doe in heat even, and then possibly kill him. So another little tactic that he mentioned.
Yeah, yeah, that's nice about those. Like it's an individual doe to the bottles. So you could use doe one, and then a couple of days later, use doe two. Completely different deer. So that buck may be like, oh, there's another doe in this area. Like now I'm really interested. There's two girls in here. Oh, daddy might get lucky.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Well, we wanna wrap this thing up and
wrap it
get
up.
Some sleep. All right. Well, guys. Before I go, I'll give you a quick season update since I didn't get to give mine. I suck at life and missed a 140-inch 8-pointer that I made the move of my life on public land. Since then, you know, it's been kind of up and down, and I found a pretty good deer to hunt, and I'm having to hunt him way differently. I can't be as aggressive as I like to, so... that's pretty much my update since, you know, I've last updated. So
there's one other update.
Oh, help me out.
There was a doe.
All the doe I screwed up on.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So
I said in the last podcast that you've had some lows, but I didn't want to speak for you.
It's been rough. So, I went low on that buck. And it was yardage, but I kind of wonder if I've been dropping my bow arm. I had a doe, had her dead to rights at 30 yards, knew the yardage. And you can be off by, you know, 1 or 2 yards if you're me, even, because my gnome-like draw length. But I can be off by a couple, you know, if I shoot her for 30 and it's 32, not a big deal. But I went low. I hit the deer low. And the way I saw the arrow hit her, I thought I smoked her. And she literally face planted into the ground twice. I just put my bow down and was like, oh my God, that deer smoked. But one thing I found very odd was her tail never tucked. It was always up. And so I get down and look at my arrow and I don't have any blood on my arrow. And I'm like, what in the hell? So a couple things. I think I might have dropped my arm. I also think that I didn't account for the angle that I needed to. And come to find out, it was literally a flesh wound. I think that deer probably bled less than any deer I've ever wounded. And I've wounded my fair share. Like, I'm not perfect, and by all means, shit happens. But, my God, it was just like, man, I went low again. Like, what the hell's going on with me? So, and my bow, dude, I'm shooting like amazeballs in my yard. I can't. It's just been one of those seasons, but, you know, I kind of did that same thing with turkey season. I missed a couple times and then ended up having a great season. So maybe we'll turn that shit around. And, I mean, I literally had my best turkey season ever. So maybe we'll have our best deer season ever.
There we go.
Let us pray.
Mm-hmm.
So with that being said, this has been Fueled by the Outdoors. And we've been your hosts, Chris Leppert and Josh Luck. We really appreciate you guys tuning in. And if you have any ideas for future content that you'd like to hear, write us at fueledbytheoutdoors@gmail.com and hit us up. Maybe comment on this episode or something.
Mm-hmm.
And just ask us some questions or you know, suggest some content that you'd like us to bring to you, and we'll do our best. So anyway, have a great weekend, guys. See ya.
See ya.